1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Okay, we got to get Jeff Datter, and we got a phone call. We got to it. Harvey, hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, Phil, I was listening to your broadcast about the Carlos Delgado, and I wanted to make a comment, if I could, about Mr. Delgado. I am a World War II veteran myself.
Go ahead, sir.
Oh, man. I'm sorry, I got some stomach cramping.
Are you not well?
No, I'm fine. I wanted to make the comment, though, that Mr. Delgado, he is playing baseball on a Canadian team.
Yes, sir?
I got that.
Oh, man.
What's wrong?
I got some cramping. I'm sorry. I'm in the mall, and I stopped off. I got some of this. Hold on for a minute.
If you need to take care of your whatever you have to take care of it.
No, I wanted to make my point, though. Hold on for a minute. Men's room? Yeah. I wanted to make my point about Mr. Delgado. You see, hold on, do you have seat covers? Mr. Delgado plays on a Canadian team, and...
Yes, sir.
He plays for the Toronto Blue Jays or something.
Blue Jays?
Blue Jays, I'm sorry. Now, making that statement... Oh, I'm sorry, what happened?
All right, you know what, I got to get you off the air here, man, because...
No, I stopped off, I got some chunky monkey gut...
Ow!
Okay, look, man, if you are having
I got to take care of it. I'm sorry.
Okay, so the guy's cramping because he had chunky monkeys, so we're not going to be able to talk with him. Let's get over to Jeff Datter, who's on the line with us. Jeff Datter is a professor of mechanical physics at Caltech University. Datter, how are you doing tonight?
A pretty interesting guest on your radio program, Mr. Henry.
Well, I'm... he was...
He sounded like he was in a whirl of hurt. He sounded like he was a hurting gator, that dude.
Okay. This is the fire season, Professor Datter. And there's going to be a lot of fires out west and wherever there is dry brush. And I know they're now beginning to enlist the aid of weather satellite technology, et cetera, to try to track some of this. And I was wondering what you could perhaps fill in terms of the blanks in this.
Well, let's be very clear about what causes a forest fire. Once you know what caused a forest fire, then you're able to go down there and you know, keep it from happening. But the thing that caused a forest fire that people don't know, and I got a very good friend of mine, Toby Bo, who worked at Temple City Animal Hospital for 2 years, and he read up on it. When it gets very dry, a lot of the high brush, a lot of the high weeds, okay, Mr. Henry? Okay?
Yes, I'm following you.
Okay. A lot of the high weeds get very dry. Now, in the low-lying flatland foothill areas, as you get up into the higher crested alpine areas, there is a fairly significantly large jackrabbit population. A community could number anywhere from 1,000 jackrabbits to 50 to 53,000 jackrabbits in a significant area. The jackrabbits, I don't know if you've ever seen a jackrabbit, they get moving. You know, they haul ass, you know.
Yeah, I've seen them. I got them around my house.
Yeah, exactly. So a jackrabbit gets hauling ass through the high, dry weeds. Static electricity now comes into play. The fur on a jackrabbit, as he's hauling ass through these weeds, gets a little spark of static electricity. Have you ever seen the static electricity on a pair of slacks?
And yes, I have.
Okay. The jackrabbit gets hauling ass through the weeds. Little spark of electricity goes. Now the jackrabbit will, at that moment, burst into flames. Now you got a flaming rabbit that's just hauling ass and setting everything on fire. Okay?
Now hold on for a minute, man. I just want to...
Yeah.
You're telling me that the fur from the jackrabbit...
Well, keep in mind, it's very dry.
Absolutely. It's extremely dry in those areas, and we do get static electricity. That the fur from the jackrabbit, as he goes through the weeds, creates static electricity, and the jackrabbit bursts into flames?
Yes, sir, that's right. So now you've got this bunny that's just, like, completely burning up, and it's touching off, you know, trees as it goes by. Toby Bowes, he's camping with a friend of his. Okay, they're up there doing some camping. Also do some brown trout fishing. Okay, he also, and I don't probably shouldn't say this, but he took a hit of acid. He said it was like unreal. You know, when you get up at that elevation, what the sky looks like. He took this hit of acid. And
well, I don't need to know about that, man. Okay, just tell me.
Well, anyway, Toby was up there. And on any given night, he said, man, you'd believe it, I saw like 3-4 bunnies on fire, just going, woo, man. They're touching off trees and everything.
Well, if that's the case, then your friend was in the middle of a forest fire.
What?
If that's the case, your friend was in the middle of a forest fire.
Well, he didn't make any comment on that specifically. But
well, what do you mean he didn't make any comment on it? Look, if he's seeing 4 or 5 flaming rabbits touching off trees.
Well, again, like I said, it's, you know, I don't have a full story, but he's up there, and he was up there with Chris Sorensen, Toby Bowes up there, and Steve Wedlock, okay, which are a couple dudes that we surf with. Anyway, there is up there, and he took a hit of acid. Next thing you know, he's got rabbits that are on fire, just boom, boom, boom. And that's when Toby said, I get it. Okay, this is what's going down. The rabbit gets on fire.
Wait a minute.
What?
Are you telling me your friend cooked this up on acid?
Well, but see, you got to understand something, Mr. Henry. Acid will take you to the molecular level of consciousness.
No, wait a minute. I just want to be clear. Your friend takes a hit of acid and starts imagining that flaming rabbits are setting off trees.
Well, think about it, man. I mean, what's wrong with it?
What do you mean static electricity from the bunny fur?
It does, man. If it's that dry and the bunny fur touches it off, you get acres of trees up in flames before you can say, hey, time for another bong hit. Because what's happening, man, is all of that dead growth, it goes up. The rabbit doesn't know. The rabbit doesn't care. The rabbit doesn't know that it's touching it off. What are you talking about?
What am I talking about?
Yeah.
What are you talking about, man? You know, you would have been fine if you would have said your friend went up there and you didn't mention the acid.
I just said it because he said the sky looks cool.
Yeah, that's fine, man. But now you're telling me, after you tell me your friend took a hit of acid, now I'm sitting here thinking about flaming rabbits. He hallucinated the whole thing.
Oh, yeah, okay, that's right, man. Yeah, he just came up with the idea of a rabbit. You know, bursting into flames, just like that.
No, he did it with the help of LSD.
Well, whatever, man. I mean, you called me up, so.
Where are you right now?
At a pond.
You're at a pond?
Yeah. Look at that. Look at that. You see that, Chris? Okay, a rabbit just went through. Okay, there it is. There's the flames. So you can kiss my you-know-what, man.
What do you mean a rabbit just...
A rabbit just hauled ass through, man. Now there's fire.
Is the rabbit on fire?
What's left of him, yeah. He's cooking over there now, man. This rabbit's just all cooked up. But that's okay, Mr. Talk Show Host. You know what's going down, so that's fine. Give me some more coffee, man. Give me some more of that sangria.
This dude... Yeah, man. The rabbits with the static electricity off of their fur touch off the high weeds. And if it wasn't for the fact... And by the way, they're up there. They took a hit of acid, and the sky looks really great. Sorry, folks. I thought it would be a little bit. Let's get back to Chunky Monkey and your spastic colon, shall we? 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Out of bounds. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Dean Wheeler from the Northern California Think Tank. That's the name of the group. Northern California Think Tank. Bunch of guys who sit in the tank and they think. They sit in the tank at the sheriff's station and think. Dean Wheeler is on with us to talk about what he talked about on our show yesterday. Apparently, Lance Armstrong being in France, in Dean's opinion, is just America just shoving it right in the face of the French. Can you imagine a cancer survivor at that going over to France and winning the Tour de France again? And no wonder they spit on him, huh? I mean, not only is he a great cyclist, but he survived cancer. Nothing's more insufferable than those people. Here's Dean.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
First of all, I don't think you have a clue about people with cancer, what they go through, what happens.
Oh, my God. Are you going to tell me now? I mean, how many times?
Yes, I am. You know why I'm going to tell you? Because I lost my mother last year in March.
Here we go again.
I lost my father in March.
Have some respect.
And you know what? Listen to me. I've been listening to you. Listen to me. Now, are you going
to
give me a chance to talk?
Listen to the man.
Are you going to give me a chance to talk? Okay. Are you one of these soapbox heroes that just won't let nobody else talk and all you want to do is voice your opinion?
Go ahead. Go ahead and tell me for the 9 millionth time how you know.
Yeah, well, make this 9 millionth in one. Because you know what? Every single time you hear it is just as important as the time before.
I lost
my mother last year. I lost my father in March. And you know what? If they were still here talking about it, because they might have been able to beat it, which unfortunately they couldn't, I would be willing and more than willing to listen to them for 6 months, a year, 2 years, anytime they wanted to talk about it. Because you know what? Apparently you haven't been blessed with death close enough to realize and appreciate life. And you know what? They don't just say that because of their own gratefulness of being survivors. They say it because it gives people that have it a lot of hope. So you're not just downgrading them. You are belittling the people that are trying to get hope in this. And don't you think there's people in France that have cancer that watch him and say, you know, he beat it. Maybe I can.
Well, sir, do you know how embarrassing it is to hear the French yell out as Lance Armstrong rides by? One nut. There goes one nut.
There's
no more embarrassing than hearing you sitting there cut down people. People that have it. You don't understand.
The reality.
When you come down with a disease and you are dying, in this world, you have a whole different attitude
toward
life, whether you're French, American, or anything, no matter your nationality. Life is a God-given thing, and when you can still survive and live another day through it, and you have beat something that might take you out of this planet, you have the right and the privilege to be proud of it. And if that's his goal...
I'm dying now because you're killing me.
That's what he wants to do. That's something that he has to grab onto in life. That keeps him going.
I'm dying over here. Look, the reality of life as we know it is that it's a pretty despicable and disgusting trick
that
God has played on us.
Take the energy that they're using in spitting and put it into their legs and beat him.
Are you mad?
Competition. He has won fair and square. Apparently, they cannot beat him, but they find it proud.
Are you mad at me?
Stand there and spit on somebody on the side of the road, which is
right.
A total disgrace.
Right. Yeah. Well, you know what? That's the way that's the French, though. What else do you expect?
Is this gentleman mad at me?
I
don't want you to be angry.
The French have always been the last ones to join the wagon whenever we've had a war, whenever we've had any
problems.
Let's
let Dean respond to some of the comments that you're making.
Are you angry at me? Because I don't think I deserve that.
Yes, I am.
I'm
not just angry. I am totally disgusted.
I
think I speak for the majority of the people in this country. And I don't care about the politicians you talk to. I don't care about the big shots you talk to. Because I don't happen to be in those shoes to talk to them. But you know what? I talked to the big man, and I talked to the big man. Let me tell you something. About life, you cannot belittle somebody if they find something to grab onto, and that's their life, and that's what they want to do. God bless them. And people like you that can't stand it, you know what? Divorce your wife, move out of this country, move to France, and get the heck away from everybody here, because you know what? The goal and the hopes and people that have here, that have that disease and stuff, you know, don't deserve to listen to people like you. They just don't.
See, I'm playing taps now. That shut
you down. Well, good, because you're alive and you can do that. And you know what? He's riding a bike. And God bless him if he beats him. That's just too bad. And anytime your wife or anybody else wants to talk to somebody about cancer, there's a lot of people out there with a lot more common sense that will listen to her and that are proud of her. And people like you don't even deserve the airtime or the publicity that you get because you're a minority and you have you're not speaking for the majority of the country.
Is the caller, the caller's gone? Okay, what was that about?
What?
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy Gold.